game is done.
David, you are my favorite Dodger insider. Let me
hear
you.
Time for Dodger Talk.
If you're ready for the brand new thing, let me hear you.
We break down all the action and give you your chance to react.
David Vasey is going to join us.
LA's favorite son.
866-987-2578.
We are rolling, boy, rolling.
It's time for Dodgers baseball.
All right.
Dodger Nation.
Dodger Talk is brought to you by Chef Marito,
seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
By Navien Tankless Water Heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
By new roads.
And now your host for Dodger Talk,
David Vesey.
The Dodgers' offense continues to stay red hot, scoring 14 runs tonight to defeat the Diamondbacks 14-1 at Chase Field. Welcome to Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 11:30 tonight right here on AM570 LA Sports. And we do have a pair of tickets to give away to next Thursday night's Dodgers-Mets game at Dodgers Stadium. It's Justin Turner replica jersey giveaway night, so we will let you know how you can win those tickets a little bit later in the show. Jose Mota will join us at 11:10 tonight, so a lot to get to between now and then. Also, we have updates on Andrew Heaney and Clayton Kershaw, so plenty of stuff to get to and a lot of news as it concerns the Dodger roster. But tonight, let's start off with the top three, the big three, in Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Trey Turner. Trey Turner and Freddie Freeman are the only two Dodgers to start every game this season for the boys in blue. And tonight, Freddie Freeman came out in a big way, 4-for-5 with 5 RBIs, 2 doubles, and a 3-run home run, his first home run since April 24th. The Dodgers score more runs than they have all season long tonight in the desert, their biggest margin of victory, 14-1 over the Arizona Diamondbacks, as they continue to win on this road trip and continue to win during this stretch of 31 games in 30 days. Tonight was their 21st game of this stretch. It's the toughest stretch of the season for the Dodgers without a day off, and all they've done is score 136 runs in 21 games, including putting up 14 tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And look, every player in this lineup not only had a hit, but also multiple hits as far as the starters go. Chris Taylor homered. He was 3-for-6 tonight. Cody Bellinger had 3 hits tonight. Not too often you see this type of offensive showing by a ball club, and it all starts with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and Trey Turner. More importantly, it starts with Mookie Betts. We had all been waiting for this version of Mookie Betts the first 3 weeks of the season, and all of a sudden now, things have clicked for Mookie since the end of April. He scores 3 runs. He now has scored 47, which is by far the most of any player in Major League Baseball. He's got the average up to 299. He's got the OPS up to 973. Freddie Freeman has just been Mr. Consistent since day one, going back to spring training. And I love what Freddie said, because in case you haven't followed Freddie's career, his number one hitting coach is his dad since he was a kid. His dad is his hitting coach. And his dad told him, you're trying to do too much. Maybe scale it back a little bit. And he did. And he hits his first home run since the end of April. And he drives in 5 runs. And Trey Turner, what can you say about him? He's maybe the most underappreciated Dodger in this lineup, because everybody put so much attention on Mookie and Freeman. Everybody put so much negative attention on Bellinger and Muncy. And Trey Turner just goes out there and does his thing every night. And tonight, he had 2 hits, including an RBI triple to score Mookie Betts all the way from first base in the 6th inning. And speaking of Trey Turner, he was our latest guest on the Instagram Live series on AM570 LA Sports. It was presented by Ford today, and I asked him about playing with Mookie and Freeman and being in the lineup with those two guys, and how it's not just automatic to feel comfortable being in the same lineup, hitting behind two such dominant players.
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing that I told Doc when I got traded over here last year is, you know, I don't care where I hit in the order, but I like to hit in the same spot just so I can learn who's in front of me, who's behind me, and, you know, how situations are going to go. You know, now I feel like I, you know, have a good feeling for what Mookie wants to do, what Freddie wants to do, how they're going to pitch those guys, if they're going to walk Freddie and try to get to me or bring in a lefty to, you know, face Freddie. You know, I try to use that information, prepare for my, upcoming at-bats. And I think, like you said, it takes a little bit of time, but I think we're rolling good. Obviously at the top of the order are doing our thing, and we're trying to contribute as much as we can. And, I think so far so good.
Trey, you were part of some pretty good lineups with the Nationals. This first three has to rank right up there with what you had in D.C. at times.
Yeah, I think early in my career I wasn't as good of a player, had to learn some things and try to, continue to grow. And now I feel like I have a few more tools on the tool belt. And, as far as the first three in the order, I think I play with a lot of good hitters, but having those two guys in front of me, it's unbelievable. I mean, it feels like they're always on base. I think that's one of the reasons why, I feel like I'm always hitting with runners in scoring position and got a chance to drive in some runs is if they're not getting a hit, they're having good at-bats, putting walks together, and it's been fun hitting behind them.
All right, that was just part of our conversation with Trey Turner on the AM570 LA Sports Instagram Live Series presented by Ford today. You can see the full interview with Trey being in the hallway of Chase Field to jump on with us on our AM570 LA Sports Instagram page. And it's just so fun to watch all three of these guys not only be teammates, but all hit behind each other. And when they're all going this way, are you not entertained? I mean, that's my only question. They are the most entertaining threesome in baseball right now, hands down. Mookie, Freeman, and Trey Turner. And I remember talking to David Price in San Diego, who has been teammates with Mookie longer than anybody else on this team. He said when Mookie is going as well as he is right now, he is the most entertaining player in baseball. And he's 100% right. And some people have accused me of being a little bit too critical of Mookie over the course of the last year. That's because we saw a glimpse of how good he could be in 2020, and we all want to see it in person. This is your first experience of seeing Mookie Betts in person at a baseball stadium near you, the way he's playing right now. You did not get to see that in a Dodger uniform in 2020 because you were not allowed in the stadium. Only your cardboard cutout was allowed at the stadium. So whether it's Arizona, San Diego, Los Angeles, or any other major league ballpark, you are getting the firsthand experience for the first time of watching Mookie Betts do his thing at the highest of high levels in person at a major league ballpark. And now you're coupling that with Freddie Freeman, who is one of the best hitters in baseball, and Trey Turner. I know the Dodgers have had a lot of good players at the same time over the course of the last 10 years. Manny Machado being in the same lineup with Corey Seager and Justin Turner. Max Muncy when he's going good. But quite honestly, I believe this big three of Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Trey Turner are the best first three hitters the Dodgers have had over the course of the last 30 years, hands down. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go all the way out to Germany. Is that correct, Albert? Are you listening in Germany?
Yes, I am, Dave.
That is so awesome, Albert. Thank you so much, man.
I've been listening to you since 2010, 2011, when Billingsley had that great season. All of a sudden, it just fell apart that year. But,
Chad Billingsley. So keep up with the Dodgers in Germany by streaming the games on the iHeartRadio app? Do you have the MLB package?
MLB,
how do you keep up with the Dodgers?
MLB. I listen to you guys on the radio. I listen to Tim Neverett. He does a great job. He's a great announcer. Monday. Oh my gosh. I'm forgetting his name.
Charlie Steiner.
I should go to hell for that.
No, you're all good, Albert. Charlie, what do you think
Steiner,
about this
Charlie
team?
Steiner.
Am I too far off when I talk about these first three hitters being the best the Dodgers have had in over 20, 30 years?
first three. Maybe talk about Muncy and, you know, maybe a guy that made a great defensive play, you know, and Bellinger, you know.
Yeah. Those guys are playing. Cody's going to play Gold Glove defense in center field. There's no question about that. And thanks for listening all the way in Germany and streaming the iHeartRadio app all the way in Germany, Albert. Speaking of Max Muncy, Dave Roberts intimated to reporters today that Muncy likely is headed to the injured list because of that sore left elbow. Remember, he did tear his UCL when Will Smith threw that ball into the runner's lane, and the runner basically bent backwards Max Muncy's left elbow on the final day of the regular season. He never had Tommy John surgery. He just tried to rehab it and put some PRP in that elbow, and he just has not looked the same. You have to imagine that that's a factor in all this. And Kevin Pillar was in Arizona. There's a very good chance that Muncy goes to the injured list tomorrow or sometime over the weekend, and Kevin Pillar is activated, because even with a DH, the Dodgers only have three bench players, position player-wise, and you can't handcuff Dave Roberts with only two position players. So it kind of feels like Muncy's going to the injured list tomorrow, and Kevin Pillar, who has been tearing up Oklahoma City and AAA opponents, is going to be activated, and that's something. You know what? This is going to be a blessing in disguise for Max Muncy, who will have an opportunity now to get that elbow fixed, or whatever he has to do to rest it and get some therapy on it and reset his season and come back with the Max Muncy that we have seen over the course of the last 5 years. So I know I talked about Kevin Pillar as far as the Dodgers needing to trim down their pitchers roster to 13 pitchers. They have 14 right now. Major League Baseball gave another extension to teams to be able to carry 14 pitchers on their roster. That won't change until June 19th, and every team in Major League Baseball will only be allowed to carry 13 pitchers. 866-987-2570. Now, here's something fun. Remember, I told you when you're listening to Dodger Talk on the iHeartRadio app, there's a microphone icon there. If you press down on it, you can send us a message, and we will play it on the air. So, Colin, I know we have a couple of messages. Let's roll it.
I'm still not understanding how the humidor works. Can you please explain that and how it differs from fields like Coors Field versus Dodger Stadium?
Okay, somebody wants to know about a humidor. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I guess, this is very contradictory, because Major League Baseball wants more action, wants more offense, but yet now they have installed humidors in every one of the 30 Major League ballparks, including Dodger Stadium. And basically what it does, it softens the ball, makes it tougher for it to travel. It was originally placed at Coors Field to try to keep some of those baseballs in the ballpark, because they were flying out at the mile high level there, a mile above sea level. Chase Field is above sea level. Arizona's above sea level. That's kind of why the ball travels as far as it does there, not to mention the great hitter's eye there. But yeah, that's the new rule starting this year, that baseball put 30 humidors in each one of these Major League ballparks. And maybe they're trying to get players to cut down on their launch angle and hit more line drives, but not sure what they're trying to accomplish there. They haven't been very transparent when it comes to the humidors or the composition of the baseballs themselves. Colin, we got another one on the iHeartRadio app.
Why does Dave Roberts waste Mookie Betts for just a pinch hitter when he could have actually double switched him, put him in right field, and he would have came up to hit again? This is your hottest hitter right now, who has had 7 home runs in the last 11 games. You could have pinch hit for Justin Turner with Will Smith. Bellinger could have went into center. Mookie could have went to right, and everything could have stayed the same. Bellinger could have hit for Hanser.
Well, that's from yesterday, where the Dodgers got shut out 1-0, and I already talked about that after the game yesterday, that I agree to a certain extent. If you're going to get Mookie Betts off the bench in the eighth inning, you've got to find a way to keep him in the game and give him a second at-bat in the ninth inning. But that's neither here or there. The Dodgers come back and Mookie starts again. I know everybody was so outraged that Mookie Betts could get a day off during this stretch of 31 games in 30 days. And I guess he did not cool himself off by not starting yesterday, as he was one of many Dodgers. In fact, every Dodger starter to have multiple hits. Mookie, 3-for-5 with 3 runs scored tonight. Just an incredible offensive showing by the Dodgers in a hitter's ballpark. But still, it's pretty impressive to see what the Dodgers did tonight to score more runs than any other game this season for them. 14 runs, the greatest margin of victory for them this year. 14-1 winners over the Diamondbacks. When we continue on Dodger Talk, we're going to check in with Jose Mota, and we're looking for caller 14 to win a pair of tickets to next Thursday night's Dodgers-Mets game. Caller 14, in honor of the Dodgers announcing they are retiring Gil Hodges, number 14, on the next homestand, June 4th, I believe, when they hand out that bobblehead to celebrate his induction into baseball's Hall of Fame. So caller 14, Gil Hodges' number, Kike's number, Mike Socha's number, Dan Hudson's number, number 14, caller 14, we're looking for you. And Jose Mota will check in next after the Dodgers defeat the Diamondbacks 14-1 on AM 570 LA Sports.
AM 570.
Dodger Talk is available on AM570LASports.com and on the iHeartRadio app. Back to more Dodger Talk with Dodger insider David Vasse.
2-2 pitch from Castellanos, and this ball is drilled to right field. Heading back to the wall, it is gone. A home run, a 3-run shot for Freddie Freeman. And the Dodgers lead it 6-0. Freeman's 4th home run of the season, an absolute no-doubter over the right field wall.
Freddie Freeman drives in 5 runs tonight with a 3-run home run and 2 doubles. Can you believe it? The Dodgers score 14 runs tonight, and they only hit 2 home runs. That one by Freddie Freeman, a 3-run shot in a 4-run second inning, and then Chris Taylor's 2-run home run in the 8th inning, and they're able to string together hits and score 14 runs tonight to beat the Diamondbacks 14-1. This is Dodger Talk, David Vasse with you until the bottom of the hour here on AM 570 LA Sports. And we want to congratulate our winner tonight, Lisa Amarillo of Monterey Park, who receives a $50 Daniel's Jewelers gift card for correctly predicting the number of home runs in the game tonight. For your chance to win a $50 gift card, good at over 100 Daniel's locations, go to AM570LASports.com. Keyword, home run. We're looking for caller 14.
It's time to go around the horn with Jose Mota.
All right, Jose Mota. We are looking, by the way, for caller 14 to win a pair of tickets to Thursday night's game at Dodger Stadium between the Dodgers and Mets. We'll get to that winner after we talk to Jose. And Jose, quite honestly, I've said this, and I can't get over how good these three hitters are at the top of the Dodger lineup: Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Trey Turner. You've seen a lot of good lineups. This has got to be at the top of the list as far as the first three hitters of a lineup.
Oh, there's no doubt, Dave. You can put any of these three guys in any lineup in baseball right now and hit him number 3 or number 4, and they fit perfectly. So how nice it is that the Dodgers and Dave Roberts have this luxury of Betts, on base ability, power, base running, Freddie Freeman with bat control, power, slugging, and Trey Turner, whom is so impressive every single day. And by the way, great conversation with him when you asked him about, you know, the guys that he's played with before, and him telling you that, you know, he was not a very good player when he first came up. He was really good. He just continued to get better and learn. I think it's fun to see these three guys because, I mean, they have bat control. They pull the ball in play. They make a difference between each other. And then they make productive outs even count more with the guys following them. So they bring it every day, too. I mean, you don't see a lot of wasted at bats. And, Dave, let me say it again. These guys do not waste at bats, and it doesn't matter what the score is, and that is admirable.
In a day and age where slugging for the fences seems to be paramount, Jose, isn't that what separates the Dodger offense from other teams that struggle to score consistently? You have guys that do swing for the fences and, quite honestly, are doing that more than trying to put the ball in play, but the majority of the Dodgers, including their three best hitters, are trying to put the ball in play.
And these guys are just good hitters that happen to have power. I mean, it's not like there's this lopsided way of looking at it at their game and go, well, they're sacrificing all the swings and misses because they're going to hit, you know, 30 or 35 or 40 home runs. But they want, and they take a lot of pride in the way they work and the way they prepare and being good hitters. And that is so fun to watch nowadays. I said this a couple of days ago, but when you look at Trey Turner and what he does as the at-bats get deeper, well, he becomes a better hitter. And we've seen sometimes like steady diet of breaking balls early in counts, and then he starts adapting, starts getting used to it, adjusts, and before you know it, it takes one pitch. It takes one pitch to beat the pitcher. He's got to beat you three times, and it seems like the approach with him also doesn't let up because he is one of the best hitters in baseball when he's behind the count around 280, 290, which is something that you think about and say, well, it seems like he doesn't go into a panic. He uses his hands very well. You know, none of these guys also grip the bat very hard. You can see how loose it is, and that's why they're able to have flexibility and use every single part of the field.
Jose Mota is joining us on Dodger Talk after the Dodgers blow out the Diamondbacks tonight, 14-1 at Chase Field. And this seemed like kind of bizarro world, even in a blowout game, Jose. You have Evan Phillips taking an at-bat and Ansel Alberto pitching again in the ninth inning. What is going on?
I don't know, man. But it seems like when they expanded these allotment for pitchers, you go like, well, maybe we're not going to see position players pitch again. But it seems like it happens in bunches, doesn't it? Albert Pujols, Yadier Molina, Alberto twice in the last, what, couple of weeks already. And the Evan Phillips at bat, those are always fun because obviously you can see the entire dugout just saying, oh, my God, one of our guys is hitting.
Yeah.
And everybody was, like, celebrating. But, you know, think about this. You know, it's not like pitchers weren't hitting that long ago in the National League. I mean, last year they were hitting. But it's just such a nuance now. I mean, like, it's so new. It's like, oh, wait, it's so refreshing. Our guy's going to go out there and hit. But I know it also means a lot more because, you know, he was not a starting pitcher ever. And, you know, with the Dodgers, he's a reliever. And when we see relievers hit, actually, it's an aberration, even in the days of, you know, the National League pitchers hitting. So fun to see. Good at bat. I'm surprised that he wasn't wearing batting gloves over for a pitcher.
Yeah, right? No kidding. Maybe he forgot him in the dugout. He doesn't hit too often, so he might have forgot him.
Hey, you know, I was telling Pepe Indigas in Spanish, I go, hey, Mike Socha, when he was managing the Angels, it was mandatory. Pitchers would have to wear batting gloves, elbow pads, and shin guards. This was dictated by the manager. Just in case anything came close to them, there was no excuse to take them out of the game and out of the mound.
Yeah, I remember Jared Weaver, who was like a toothpick. He would have so much armor on him. It's like, does this fit him? I don't even know if it fits him. It was so lanky and clunky on him.
Well, it's always good to laugh about it because it means the Dodgers had a good game, and overall they brought it. Hey, let's not forget also, this is the series where Gavin Lux had a very tough defensive series back in April against the D-backs. And today, on the defensive side, he was on range, instinct, having the ability to cover left, right, coming in, stealing line drives and diving, even though at times, you know, we saw what happened there at third base where it was a little hurtful, but he brought his game on the defensive side to the plus today.
Yeah, you know, for the most part, he's been pretty good defensively, Jose, but there have been, you know, one or two games in a row where he's had some issues defensively. He certainly has had his challenges again in left field. We saw that in Washington, D.C. and Philly again. What do you make of Gavin Lux's season? Do you feel like people overreacted to a few bad games defensively?
Yes, and I think overreacting is more like the anticipation that did he really get better? Because we saw it in spring training where he still had the issues throwing the baseball and maybe not being too sure of himself defensively. So I think it was more like, oh, my God, here we go again. But you know, he's been given a chance. The Dodgers believe in him. He's a very good athlete. That's why the versatility plays so good for him, you know, in the outfield and at second base. But he's only going to get better by playing. He's not going to get better by, you know, being another level or getting more extra work. He's going to get better by, you know, game reps. Failure is going to make him better. But overall, I think perhaps we have turned the page on that one. And he feels like himself, at least on the mental side, he's gotten over everything that he needed to on throwing the baseball and catching the baseball.
Okay, Jose, before I let you go, I'm going to ask you about another young Dodger player. Ryan Pepio making his third start, major league start, tomorrow against the Diamondbacks. It'll be the second time he has seen these Diamondbacks in less than 2 weeks. We've seen him in his first two starts really struggle with his fastball command. How does he fix that?
Command of the fastball comes by throwing the fastball. And I think for him, because his fastball has life and has some carry, the most important thing is that he does not try to be too fine with it. In other words, you might think, you know, I got to follow the scouting report on Ketel Marte, for example, and it says, you know, throw the fastball away. You know, try throwing it down the middle and let it run. I think being too fine is what's gotten him into a little bit of trouble, because when he has missed some fastballs, you know, out of the zone, it's not by a whole lot, but just off the edges, off the margins. And he does have, obviously, we know, a very good changeup, but the slider is one pitch that I think overall organizationally they know they need to get out of him. And he actually threw some for strike, getting back into counts last time against his D-backs. And I hope that he can incorporate it early, late in counts, because sometimes having a different grip and just thinking about a release point where you have to be a little bit finer with your slider for a strike can actually help your fastball command.
All right, let's see if he could do it tomorrow, because it's a lonely feeling when all you have is your fastball and you can't get it over for strikes, and things went sideways on him. So hopefully things get on track for Ryan Pepio in his major league career, Jose, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. What do you think over under tomorrow, no matter what the number is? You feel like the Dodgers go over 14 runs or below 14 runs tomorrow?
Oh, my God, this conversation I have with Pepe and you guys, every time they score a lot of runs, like, Pepe, please, nobody wants to save runs. No, keep going at it. So, you know, it's not going to happen. It's an aberration in baseball. Come on now. But you know what? All they need is one more than the D-backs, and it's a win. It doesn't matter
okay.
How many.
You're so one politically more. Correct, Jose.
I'm trying to follow you.
I wanted you to come
friend.
Back and say, you know what? They're going to put up 13 more tomorrow, or they're going to put up 10 more tomorrow.
What if I say no, they're not? There's my answer.
All right. Well, how about this?
One more.
I got the Dodgers scoring between 6 and 8 runs tomorrow against Bumgarner and whoever else comes in after him.
I'm going to go between 4 and 7 tomorrow.
All right. Well, you got you. We'll see what happens tomorrow night.
You got it, pal. Take care.
You too, Jose. Thanks a lot. Jose Mota joining us every night here on Dodger Talk. The Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks tonight 14-1. We're looking for, speaking of 14, that's the number of the night, we're looking for caller 14 in honor of Gil Hodges' number 14 being retired by the Dodgers on this upcoming homestand when the team returns home, because the Dodger standard is to have a player go into the Hall of Fame before their number is retired, and they have to spend the majority of their career as a Dodger and also go in as a Dodger. Mike Piazza's 31, not retired because he went in as a Met. And, you know, the only number up there at Dodger Stadium that is not in the Hall of Fame is Jim Gilliam's number 19. 866-987-2570. We have caller 14, Sarkis in Santa Clarita. Congratulations, you're caller 14. You're going to the game next Thursday night.
Woohoo! Thanks, Dave. Thank you, brother. That was awesome. Appreciate it.
Hey, who's your only Dodgers radio station that sends you to Dodger games on a regular basis?
AM 570.
You know it, Sarkis. And then who is your favorite number 14? Would it be Kike? Would it be Mike Socia? Would it be Jeff Rebele? Who is your favorite number 14?
By far, Kike.
Really? All right. Yeah, he did. You know, Kike did capture the hearts of Angelinos when he was playing for the Dodgers.
It was a sad day when he left, brother.
No doubt. He's a free agent at the end of the year, Sarkis. Maybe he'll come back, but he can't wear 14.
I know.
Okay. Thanks a lot for listening, and hold on, and we'll get all your information. There he is, Sarkis in Santa Clarita. He's our caller 14. Yes, the Dodgers are retiring number 14 on the next homestand to honor Gil Hodges. There's a Gil Hodges bobblehead night. All of that is happening the same night at Dodger Stadium against the team that he managed for, the New York Mets. He managed the Miracle Mets in 1969 and certainly is beloved by everybody in New York for the way he played in Brooklyn and then doing what he did for the Mets in 1969. Got a couple of updates on some Dodger players other than Max Muncy. The Dodgers are trying to piece together this pitching staff without significant pitchers that are on the injured list. Blake Treinen's not coming back until after the All-Star break. Clayton Kershaw was shut down and just rejoined the team today in Arizona. He played some catch again for the first time since the Dodgers went on the road trip, and he is scheduled, if all goes well, if he is pain-free, he will throw a bullpen session next week at Dodger Stadium. Even better news for Andrew Heaney, who pitched so well in his first two starts of the season for the Dodgers. He's coming back from left shoulder inflammation. He threw a three-inning, 50-pitch bullpen session today in Arizona. He plans on throwing a two-inning simulated game on Sunday. From there, I would believe that he is going to be going out on a minor league rehab assignment and then rejoin the Dodger rotation, which surely can use him as they're going to have to lean on Ryan Pepiot again tomorrow. They leaned on Mitch White for four scoreless innings tonight. Let's take one final caller before we say goodnight. Ruben in Eastvale, thanks for being patient. You're our final caller on Dodger Talk.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Tremendous. The Dodgers won, and the new Obi-Wan Kenobi series was streaming tonight. So can't complain.
Yeah, so I'm second time, long
time. Which one
time
do you want to talk about, Obi-Wan or the Dodgers?
Dodgers, for sure. Okay. Come on.
All right. So, fair question.
Yeah, so like I said, second time, long time. This is the first year you and I have been on the same page with everything.
Say that again?
This is the first year you and I have been on the same page with you. I'm agreeing with everything you're saying this year.
That's I couldn't believe what I heard. That's why I asked you to repeat it.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And not that I'm a hater. I have a quick question for you, though, before that. Where do you get all your baseball knowledge?
Well, I grew up loving baseball. You know, baseball was on in my house from, you know, the first memory I have. You know, Vin Scully taught me baseball, and every day back when there was no internet, I would get the newspaper and read the box score of every team in baseball. And I don't know, it's just passed down from generation to generation. I mean, that's why it's important for moms and dads and grandparents to watch baseball with their grandkids or their kids, because it's passed down. And, you know, I watch it with my kids now, and they ask questions to try to learn the strategy of the game. And that's how I learned.
Very interesting. Same here with me. I'm 48. I've been a Dodger fan since probably my dad bought me a hat back in 1977. He went to go watch the Dodgers play against Pittsburgh. Since then, I had pictures of me wearing Dodger gear. First game was 1981 when the Dodgers had to play the Astros. And remember that little semi-playoff series?
Yeah,
in Fernando Pitch?
I do.
I went to that game.
That is very cool. And these days, Ruben, I'm learning baseball from the guys that actually play it, so I'm very lucky to tap into their knowledge. And that's why, you know, the opinions that I form are not just opinions I come up with on my couch. It's from talking to guys on this team, in that clubhouse, and guys that have played this game at a high level over the course of the last 25, 30 years. So that's where it all comes together.
Okay, cool. Okay, so those are okay. Okay, I've been wanting to ask that forever. So, anyways, yesterday when I called, I got clicked off. I'm on the same page with you about Cody Bellinger. He is such a great defender. So, I mean, I am so, like, I won't give up on Bellinger. He's not my favorite player, but I don't give up on him because of his glove. His glove is so great. But do you think he's going to come around with his bat?
He had three hits tonight, Ruben. He will come around with his bat, but it's not going to be consistent, and it's not going to be anywhere close to the first 6 and 8 weeks of 2019. So, like I've said a few times now, I think everybody has to adjust their expectations for Cody Bellinger. I got to run, Ruben. Thanks for calling in. Call back anytime. Appreciate it. We're wrapping things up on Dodger Talk tonight. Tomorrow, game two of this four-game series in the desert between the Dodgers and Diamondbacks. Ryan Pepiot will be making his third major league start. He's going up against a guy that has a few more than three under his belt. That's Madison Bumgarner. The former Giant is 2-2 with an ERA of 2.76. Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck begins at 5:30. First pitch at 6:40. Thanks to Colin Yee at our Burbank studios. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald at Dodger Stadium. Thanks to you for listening. In case you missed any of the show, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app. That's also where you can stream Dodger games as they're happening on the iHeartRadio app as well. Once again, the final score at Chase Field. The Dodgers defeat the Diamondbacks 14-1. Have a great night. See ya. Sunny shining all the time, like another perfect day.